Psalm 1. Psalm 1. I'm going to read the first couple of verses just to open up this evening, and I'd like to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word, if you would, please. I'd like to read verses 1 through 3 and then have a word of prayer. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, we thank you again for the blessings that you give us each day. But Lord, tonight as we look at this word, blessed, and as we think of the blessings that we receive, help us not to also forget the tremendous blessings we have for all eternity. The blessings that you've promised us when we step into that eternity, that we cannot even comprehend the wonders and the splendor of that place that we're going to spend with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Lord, help us to realize tonight that there is a difference in us because of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's also a responsibility. And Lord, there are benefits that are so wonderful that we can't even begin to name them all. God, I thank you tonight for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. I thank you that you've promised to hear our prayers, and you promised us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You promised us that if we would confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you promised us in due season we would reap if we faint not. And Lord, as Hebrews says, the time would fail to try to name all the many blessings that you've given us. Lord, sometimes we lose sight of that, and we tend to get caught up in the trials of this world. Help us not to do that. Help us tonight to realize that we are a blessed people and why we're a blessed people. And Lord, help us to remain faithful to you. And God, we do pray that you would use us, that you would use our church, and that you would allow us to see you do great things in this place for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his name we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. Thinking about the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, you don't see the description that you see in the New. You don't see the words used, I should say, for born-again Christian. We know the New Testament speaks of being born again. It speaks of being saved. In the Old Testament, we see a lot of the contrast we see there is between the righteous and the unrighteous. In the New Testament, we would say a man is born again. In the Old Testament, we would say he's righteous. In the New Testament, we would say he's a new creature and he's no longer ungodly. And in the Old Testament, we would see that the opposite of the righteous is the ungodly. I try to say this as clearly as I can. They both mean the same thing, because when we got saved, we were changed. Amen? Amen? God changed the way we thought. He changed our understanding of the Bible. He changed the desires that we have. And it's not that we have no flesh or no temptation. We do have those things, but we are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When we got saved, we got changed. And when we were saved, we received the righteousness of Christ, amen, but we also received the exhortation, the command, or the instruction, and the ability to live a godly life. So I'm looking at Psalm 1 tonight. We were anticipating perhaps we might have some first-time visitors. We did not have that occasion this evening. But I wanted to leave Exodus and look at Psalm 1 and the simplicity of it as an encouragement, and also as, and I use the word exhortation, I realize I'm being translated, so I got to quit using big words, but it is something that would lead us to be closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. I look at that very first word in the very first verse of Psalm 1, and the word is blessed. Blessed is the man, and he describes that man, but before he does, folks, as a born-again Christian, we know the blessings of God. For example, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. And I know that nothing can take that away from me. And I know that I can't even take it away from myself. Not that I would want to, but the Bible says that no man can pluck me out of God's hand. I have an assurance of salvation. And that alone, if you didn't have anything else, salvation, just the notion, just the idea, just the knowledge that we have a home in heaven is a tremendous blessing. And we take that for granted because we've known it for so long. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad? I never, ever wake up and worry about whether or not I'm going to go to heaven or go to hell. I never worry about whether or not my sins have been forgiven. I never worry about whether or not I have eternal life. The Bible says we know we have eternal life. That's a blessing. That's a source of happiness. I don't have any care, any concern about what's going to happen to me in eternity. That certainly is a blessing. There is also that blessing, that peace that I have in my life, that I know that the Lord Jesus Christ promised me He would never leave me or forsake me. Too often we forget, and it's quite often, it's mentioned in the New Testament quite a lot, too often we forget we have peace with God. We are reconciled to Him. He is no longer at an enemy of ours. He's not at enmity with us, but we are at peace with God. Sometimes we sin and we can temporarily lose a little bit of that fellowship with God, but we can confess those sins and come back to Him. So when you see the word blessed in verse 1, we know some of those blessings, and we understand we've received those. But then there is a qualification, or I should say there is an instruction that's given to us in Psalm 1 as to how to be blessed. And it also would be a warning as to how to lose blessings. Not that you can lose your salvation, but the blessings of God are certainly bestowed upon folks that fit into this category. Look what he says in verse 1. Blessed is the man, and then he says this, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The very first thing that he says in Psalm 1 is God's blessings are bestowed upon some people that don't do certain things. Now, that's not a popular message in the world. The world doesn't like to be told not to do certain things. The world likes to do whatever it wants, and the flesh likes to do whatever it wants. But the blessings are given to those that will step away from what the world loves and what the world does. And let me say it really precisely. The blessings are given to people who don't do certain things. I could ask you that question, and you could think about that for a minute. What are the things that we choose not to do because of the Lord Jesus Christ and His law? Amen? We choose not to do some things. We choose to abstain from some things. We choose not to think certain ways or see certain things or say certain things or hear certain things. And the not is the very first thing that he emphasizes in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The It is what we don't do that affects God's blessings. Now, the second verse says, instead of what we don't do, there's something that we delight in. And in verse 2, he says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, just pause right there for a moment. Don't you love the Bible? Don't you love to read the Bible? It's astounding to me to this day. Like no other book, I can pick up my Bible and start reading, and it captures me. It draws me in. I've read some other good books that were interesting or entertaining. I read a book one time back in Maryland, and I got started reading this book at about 9 o'clock at night, and I stayed up until 3 in the morning and finished the entire book. I've almost never in my life ever done that with any other book. It was, for any interest you might have, it was the true story of a ship that was attacked by a whale, just like the fictional story Moby Dick. And it was just very interesting the way the author wrote it, and it caught my attention, and I read the whole thing. Most books don't do that for me, but when I read the Bible and when you read the Bible draws us in, doesn't it? Hebrews chapter 4 says the Bible is quick. That means it's alive. Folks, when you read the Bible, God is talking to you. And as a born-again Christian, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, and if you're a born-again Christian, the Spirit does dwell in you, when God talks to you, I think it's the Spirit of God that wells up in us and perks up our ears and says to us, look what God has to say. It always draws me in. If you can just find a time of the day to sit down and open your Bible and start reading, you will see that there is a delight there. It is good to see what God's promised us. It is good to see what God cautions us against. It's good to see what God is willing to do in our lives and how much he loves us and how his mercy is so great and the things that he's promised us that await us in eternity. So many things in the Bible that draw us in. It says his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, I was teaching Sunday school this morning, and we were talking about the Word of God. And we got off on a rabbit trail talking about loving one another, which was a good rabbit trail. But what I was trying to emphasize to the class this morning is just what this says right here, and that is, if you and I will spend time in the Bible, it will change us. If I sit down, if you sit down and we read the Bible will change us. The Word of God will change a saved person. It'll affect a lost person. It'll change us. If we will endeavor to obey it, then there's even further blessing to be had. But it's such a simple thing. It's like the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 4 and in Luke chapter 4. He said, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is the very life of a Christian to take the Bible in. And I sat down, I think it was Friday, and I was starting to study a little bit, and I was in Exodus, and I got to reading, and I got to reading, and I got to reading. Before you know it, I've read it almost all the way through Exodus, just enjoying what God had to say. That's the way the Bible affects us, isn't it? It is a delight to us. It is something that is special, that speaks to us in a way that nothing else could. He says in verse 2, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now again, we're talking about the blessed man. First of all, he's blessed because of some things that he does not do. Secondly, he is blessed as his delight is in God's law. And the end of that verse says, in his law doth he meditate day and night. It changes the way we think, doesn't it? Makes you wonder why people think the things they think. Why people, for example, I wonder how some people can commit some of the sins that they commit. I can't imagine some of the things that people do. But aren't you glad the Bible changes your mind? It does, doesn't it? Now, if you won't read it, it won't change it quite so much. But the more you read it, the more change there is to be had. Knowing all of this, I want to tell you something. The devil is going to try and keep you out of this book. He's going to try to find a way to get you busy thinking about something else, doing something else. And I've mentioned this on a couple of occasions recently. I'll tell you something. One of the things that scares me more than just about anything else today is this little gadget right here, a cell phone. You look around and you see people and they're like this. And they're attached to this thing. It's almost like there's a string from there to their forehead and it won't let go, you know. And why is that? There's a phrase, instant stimulation. I want to be entertained. I pull my cell phone up. You may have remembered back when television first came out, way back in the early 1900s, there were some people, and they said, television will never, ever succeed because it is such a waste of time. No one will waste the time to watch it. And now, how many hours a week do we spend watching the television? And we live in a day where that's just one of many things that can take us away from the Bible. Television, cell phone, all the different sources of media, the things that you can read. I get enough junk mail every day to read. I could read all day long if I wanted to. There's so many things that can take us away from the Word of God. What would happen in our life? What would happen in our church? What would happen if you and I would purpose in our heart, I'm going to push these things aside. I'm not going to throw my cell phone. I'm going to push these things aside, and I'm going to get it back in the book. Amen? The Bible says God will bless you, doesn't He? He says that you're blessed if your delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it doth He meditate day and night. Now, I know some folks here that are older would have to agree with me. This book changes the way I think. Amen? I see things differently. But it's not just that this book has changed the way I think. It has changed what I think. In it doth he meditate day and night. Now, I will say there are two kinds of meditation. There's the deliberate meditation. By the way, the word meditate just means to think about it. It's a good thing. It's a rare thing today, but it's a good thing just to sit down and think about the Word of God. You can't do that if you're watching TV. You can't do that if you're browsing the internet. You can't do that if you're on your phone looking at whatever you look at on your phone. I think it's a shame if we spend more time on our cell phone than we do in our Bible. Is that true? I think it's a shame if we spend more time watching the television than we do in our Bible. And I'm convicting myself about this as well. I want to be what the Lord wants me to be. Would you agree with me on that? Amen? And we want the Lord to change us. And I began to develop this theme, and I didn't even tell Randy Starr. Let's see if God tells him. But I would like to see in our evangelistic meeting in the coming week that God would change us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, more of what He wants us to be. There are some things about me that I can change, and you same. There are some things about you that you can change. But I've seen in my life, in other people's lives, I've seen God make changes that I can't make. I've seen God make changes in people's lives that only God could have done that. That's what I want. Amen? That's what we want as a church. We want God to change us. Amen? And the Word of God is the key to this. And I believe with all my heart, if we will spend more time in the Word of God, and if we'll spend less time in the distracting things that the world has to offer, because look what He's got going here. Look at verse 1. He says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Just focus on that word counsel there for a minute. Counsel is when someone tells you what you ought to do. You know what you're going to get when you listen to the world, to the media that the world has to offer, to the things that you see on the TV, the things you hear on the radio and so forth? That's the world's counsel. And when he says right there, when he says, walketh not, that's where you're spending your time. Are we spending our time being counseled by the world? Am I spending my time being counseled by the world? Or am I spending my time delighting in the law of the Lord? Amen? this is not complicated, but it's very important. If we want God to truly change us, and I think we do, then we need to exert some effort. We need to walk away from some things, the knots that I just read you, and we need to step into some things, the law of the Lord. Day and night, thinking about it, spending time in it. We love being there. Let's purpose in our heart this week, this month, as time goes forward, let's purpose in our heart to spend more time in the Word of God. I really, again, believe with all my heart, if we were spending adequate time in the Bible, God would do things in our life that aren't otherwise going to be done. And then let's just go a little bit further. We're not going to have too much more time, but look at verse 3. Now, after having done that, then he describes the benefit. You see, there's the promise of blessing in verse 1, the things to be avoided in verse 1, the things that replace them in verse 2, and then now there's the benefit in verse 3. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We can appreciate that out here in the West, because as you drive through the desert and you see a place over there where there's a bunch of trees, you know something. There's got to be a river there. My dad grew up in a place in New Mexico, and there was a little creek that ran through there, and there were giant cottonwood trees all around that creek, because that's where the water was. A couple of things about trees. Number one, trees stay put. You ever seen somebody that just keeps going from place to place to place and never can find a place to stay? In fact, he describes them later on, and he says that there's chaff driven by the wind in verse 4. There's this instability in some people's lives. But God would like to put you somewhere and use you in that place to do great things for him. And if you keep on moving around all the time, you're not going to accomplish nearly so much. I like to hear from Steve Harris. He's been in Mexico for 14 years. Now, when he first got there, he didn't have anything. And then after time, he found a place to meet. They're still renting, but they have a place to meet. And then after a while, he got some members. And do you realize now, I ask him, they have 20 or 25 people that go soul winning every week. That didn't happen overnight. That happened because he got somewhere and stayed put. The devil would like to move you around and move you around and move you around. Let's get someplace and stay there. Amen? The tree planted by the rivers of water. Trees don't move. Second thing about trees is trees produce fruit. Not cottonwood trees. All cottonwood trees make is a mess. But trees produce fruit. And folks, Jesus said plainly that when we produce much fruit, we glorify God. But if you're moving around, you're not going to produce any fruit. If you can't stay put and stay planted and grow somewhere, then the fruit's not going to be there. So again, the devil would like to move you around, but we'd like to see fruit. Amen? Now, if we are not doing certain things, and if we are being changed by the Word of God, then the Bible says, and it's a promise here, he says in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit. These next three words aren't my favorite, but they're in the Bible. In his season. What does that mean? That means we plant today and we reap tomorrow. That means we have to wait. I hate waiting. I like to have it now, don't you? Well, that's not the way God works, amen? It was nice tonight to come, and some of you just arrived in time to just go right in the front of the line and go ahead and eat right then. That's nice, but when it comes to the fruit that we grow for God, it takes time. So we're planted, and then when the season is right, we see the fruit that comes from that. He says in verse 3 again, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, the leaf on the tree, it gives shade, it makes the tree attractive. But you only have leaves on trees when there's enough water. And folks, again, the water is the Word of God. And I'm telling you, what he's saying to you is this: if you spend time in the Word of God, your leaf won't wither. You can stay planted. You can bear fruit. And there's even a promise that whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And that word prosperity means a whole lot of blessings. Not just some blessing, but a whole lot. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you believe this is a psalm? Amen? You believe this? Amen? So if you believe this, what should that do in your life and in mine? And I'll discuss this and then we'll be done. First of all, and I'll just leave those last three verses for another time. But if I believe that, then number one, there are some things that I must decide to stay away from. There's some sins that I must stay away from. There are some actions that I need to stay away from. And if I won't stay away from those, it's going to affect how God can bless me. We can't deceive ourselves. We do have the ability to withstand temptation. He talks about not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. I think there's some things you're going to have to ignore. If you're going to spend time in the Word of God, you're going to have to ignore some things. You may have to stop listening to certain things. You may have to stop being entertained by certain things. Every time you pick up your cell phone, every time you turn on your television, every time you look at your computer screen, you pause and ask yourself, should I be here or should I be here? Amen? We delight in this book. This book will change us. If I want God's blessings, I got to push some things away. I need to have some discipline in my life to say, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go here, the Word of God. Second thing I see that we need to do is, again, we need to meditate on the Word of God in verse 2. I didn't really finish my thought a while ago. I wanted to say this, and that is that sometimes when I see things or I hear things, a verse of Scripture will pop into my mind. When I'm talking to somebody or when I'm preparing a lesson or a message or when I just see things happening around me, I'll see things and a verse of Scripture pops into my mind. That's a good thing. If you spend plenty of time in the Bible, that will happen in your life. But then I need to also be deliberate about that. Now let me ask you a question. When was the last time you memorized a verse of Scripture? Now, when I was younger, I could memorize Scripture real easy. It wasn't hard for me at all. I could learn a pretty good chunk of Scripture in just a day or two. It's gotten harder, but I can still do it. Amen? When's the last time you memorized Scripture? Maybe a verse that is a blessing to you. Maybe a verse that you just... it just catches your eye and you think, that's something I need to remember. It's a good thing to memorize Scripture, amen? The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." When you memorize Scripture, it keeps you from sin. You can do it. We have the time to do these kind of things and we can memorize Scripture, especially if we set some other things aside. It's going to change some things that we do. It's going to change the way we think. And then I just say it again, I mentioned it already, so I'll be done, and that is, if you really want fruit, this is the, I hate to say it this way, but this is the price we're going to have to pay, and it's not really a price at all, it's a blessing. If we really want to see fruit, then we need to stay away from certain things. We need to take in some certain things and let God use us to produce that fruit. You know, next week when we have Randy Starr here, we all have the choice of being in God's house. I want you to know, I choose to be in God's house when the doors are open. You say, Pastor, you have to. You're the pastor. I know, but when I'm not the pastor, I'd be here anyway. When I was between churches back in Maryland, I was in the church house every time the doors were open. I went on visitation. Nothing changed there. I do that not because I'm the pastor, but because it's the right thing to do and it pleases God. We need to all decide, I'm going to be there when the doors are open during the evangelistic meetings. And that's something that God can bless. But once we all come here and we've prayed up, we're waiting for God to speak to us, we are still dependent upon God for the blessing. I come to church seeking for God to bless me, waiting for God to bless me, but I depend on God to bless me. I depend on God to speak to me through His Word. You know, you can come to church with a bad attitude. You can come to church and be angry about something, or you can come to church and you can be distracted by something and hear a great message and it all just goes right over your head. Or you can come to church looking for a blessing, looking to hear from God, looking for God to work in your life, hear a really terrible message, and have God speak to your heart. Amen? That's the way it works. We depend on God for that blessing. So next week when we come to church, we're here, and we're prayed up, trusting God to bless. And then one of the greatest things I would like to see is for God to bring some visitors. Amen? I'd like to see somebody come in and hear the gospel and find Christ as their Savior. And again, in some case, I'm dependent upon God because I've invited a lot of people. I need for God to prosper that invitation. But if I don't invite anybody, there's not going to be any prosperity. Amen? In other words, I've got to step out and ask some people to come to the meeting. We've got a lot of blessings from God, but we really desire that He would prosper us in these days ahead, in this meeting to come. And I'm asking you, as our church, to be faithful this week to prepare your heart for what God's going to bring to us beginning next Sunday morning. To pray and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be faithful and speak to my heart and do a work in my life. Spend more time in the Word of God this week and let God speak to you and get you ready for that. And then, folks, please invite others out so that we can see some folks come and find Christ as Savior. And you know, the great thing, that's not an experiment. God promises He will prosper us. Amen? There's the formula right there. It's just a question of whether or not we will do our part. I found out something a long time ago. When I do my part, God always does His part. Even when I don't do my part as well as I should, sometimes He does His part better than He should. So we're waiting for God to bless, but we want to do our part. Amen? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes just for a moment with every head bowed and every eye closed.